three clergymen were in deep discussion about the best postures for praying, while a telephone repairman worked nearby. The first minister said, "Kneeling is definitely the best way to pray." "No," the other minister said, "I get the best results standing with my arms outstretched to heaven." "You're both wrong," said the third minister. "The most effective prayer posture is lying on the floor, face down." The telephone repairman could contain himself no longer. "Hey guys," he interrupted, "the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole." Today's gospel is about making time for prayer. Take a look at today's gospel. It's a very short gospel from St. Mark. The Lord saw that the apostles were very busy. They had just come back from preaching and healing. And now he says, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." The Lord wanted to make sure they had time for prayer, solitude, spiritual rejuvenation. So if you take a look at the gospel, it starts out by saying that the apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. What I think is interesting is normally the evangelist calls the apostles the disciples, but today he calls them the apostles. What's the difference between a disciple and an apostle? Well, it's important. A disciple is a student. A disciple is someone who sits at the feet of the master, who soaks in the wisdom, who is a learner, somebody who is following a teacher. That's what a disciple is. And Jesus first called these men, these fishermen mostly, to be disciples. And because he wanted to form them and to train them, that's why the first thing Jesus ever said was, come to me. But then he turned them into apostles. An apostle means one who is sent to evangelize, to be a missionary. And notice the last words Jesus said were, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. So in our own life, we're called to be disciples and apostles. First, we come to learn from Jesus. We sit at his feet. We come to Mass. We hear the readings. We hear the homily. We receive Jesus in Holy Communion. So we come to Jesus, and we are disciples of Christ. But we shouldn't only be disciples. We should become apostles. We're called to evangelize, to spread our faith. We're not called to keep the faith to ourselves. When Jesus says, go out into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, he wasn't just talking to the 12. He was talking to each one of us. That's why at the end of Mass, the Mass always ends with the dismissal. Go and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. Or go forth, the Mass has ended. The very word Mass in Latin comes from the ita missa est, which means the sending forth. That's what the Mass means. It is to be sent forth as apostles. Yes, we come together as disciples to learn from Jesus, to sit at his feet, to receive him in communion, but that we're sent forth from every Mass as apostles. That's why I love the Legion of Mary so much. And if you really want to grow spiritually, please join us in the Legion of Mary, because at our weekly meeting, we try to become disciples of Christ. We try to learn more about Jesus, but then each week we're sent out to the prisons, the nursing homes, the hospitals, to visit people as apostles. It has the beautiful combination of discipleship and apostleship. So that all of us are called to be disciples and apostles. So these apostles came back and they were so excited because they had been casting out demons. They had been healing. They had been anointing people with oil. They had been healing and doing all sorts of wonderful work. They had been very busy. What does the Lord now tell them? Come away by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. A deserted place. See, the Lord loved to pray in the desert. in solitude and prayer. Jesus also loved to pray on the mountains. He loved to pray by the seashore. See, getting away and finding your own deserted place. Do you have any favorite places to pray? Maybe by a lake, maybe by the ocean, maybe at a particular mountaintop. There are beautiful places, retreat houses, all around us in Northern Virginia and Maryland, and we can go and spend time alone with God in prayer. Perhaps, you know, we have a retreat house out in White Post near Winchester. The diocese runs a retreat house. They have retreats for men, retreats for women, retreats for married couples. It's so important at least once a year to get away on an annual retreat. If you can do a whole weekend silent retreat, that'd be amazing. But at least do a one day, a day of recollection if you can't get away for a whole weekend. Berryville, the Holy Cross, the Trappists have a monastery. You can go and visit their beautiful chapel and pray, listen to the monks praying their divine office. There's retreat houses in Culpeper, in Bethesda, Southern Maryland, the beautiful retreat house on the Potomac River. My favorite one growing up as a kid was Malvern, Pennsylvania. Going there every year, one weekend a year, really helped me to discern my calling from God, my vocation. So retreats are life-changing experiences, and I would encourage you to at least once a year consider doing a retreat. For the last 24 years, I've taken families to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. In fact, I'll leave after this Mass today. We have 15 families from around the diocese going. We have daily Mass, opportunity for Eucharistic adoration, the rosary on the beach each night, a nightly pilgrimage to Dairy Queen. It's very important. You know, these are very important aspects of the retreat. But anyway, it's a family beach retreat, and it is my 24th year of taking families there. But just to get away to the beauty of God's nature, to be able to have daily Mass, adoration, rosary, some talks, opportunity for confession. See, that's what a retreat is all about. And Jesus wanted the apostles to come away to a deserted place and rest a while. Now, even if you can't go away for a day or a weekend, we have other opportunities. The Adoration Chapel in our historic church right across the street. Monday morning to Friday morning, 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, that chapel is open. And you can go and spend time in Eucharistic adoration right here in our very parish. At night, 2 o'clock in the morning or midnight or 5 in the morning, you can go and spend time with Jesus. So figure out where your places that you pray, your desert spot, your deserted place, Jesus says, come away and rest a while. The gospel continues by saying the people kept coming up to Jesus and the apostles in great numbers so that they didn't even have time to eat. So they get into a boat, Jesus and his 12 apostles, and they go across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a large lake, maybe about 12 miles from north to south and about 5 miles from east to west. As the apostles get into the boat with Jesus, and they take off to the other side of the lake, but the crowd sees where they're going. And they began to run and walk hurriedly along the seashore, following the boat at a distance. And so as they're going, more and more people join them. This huge crowd is running and walking very quickly. And it says, when Jesus got to the other side of the lake, there was the entire crowd he had just left. They had followed him. But notice what happens next. Jesus does not get annoyed or irritated or frustrated. Instead, he looks at the crowd with compassion. It says his heart, his sacred heart, was moved with pity on the crowd, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he taught them many things. So what a beautiful image this is of the sacred heart of Jesus, that Jesus, he loves us so much that he's so compassionate and so merciful that he sees the crowd. And again, he had just seen the exact same crowd a few hours earlier on the other side of the lake, but they were so hungry for Jesus that they ran and walked so quickly that they got to the place even before the boat showed up. So it just shows people do have spiritual hunger. They hunger for God. They hunger for knowledge and truth and the scriptures. People hunger for the Eucharist. That's why we're so blessed to be Catholics, because the Mass nourishes us and feeds us with the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. The Mass is our spiritual food that feeds us on our pilgrimage to eternal life with God in heaven. So what I'd recommend from today's Gospel, remember three things from today's Gospel, three practical things that we can do. Number one, pray every day. Pray every day. Matthew Kelly says that if every Catholic started praying for at least 10 minutes a day, it would transform the entire church. Imagine if everybody in the world prayed for 10 minutes a day. We would get rid of war and terrorism, and all the evils of the world, I think, would gradually disappear if everybody began to pray, to ask God for knowledge and wisdom and guidance in their life. Imagine how much better place the world would be if everybody started praying at least 10 minutes a day. So daily prayer. Number two, keep Sunday as a day of rest. Keep holy the Lord's day. Jesus said, and the Bible says, and the church has always said, work for 6 days, but rest on the Sabbath. And the church says that Sunday is our Sabbath day, a day in which we come to Mass, adore God, praise God, worship God, ask for what we need, but keep Sunday as a family day, a day of recreation, a day of fun, a day of relaxation, and do your work on other days. I'll try to eliminate all unnecessary manual labor that takes the joy out of Sunday. And in place, keep that day holy, a day of rest and relaxation, and spend it with the family and have a very good holy Sabbath. Every week, one day of rest. And number three, go on a retreat. Even a one-day retreat or a weekend retreat if you can. Look at all the retreat houses, at the opportunities for a men's retreat, a women's retreat, married couples retreat. Go to Steubenville for a weekend. There's many opportunities that we have. So I encourage you at least once a year, follow Jesus' advice. Come away to a deserted place and rest a while.